Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is what happens when you wear granny trainers. Izzy is gorgeous.
£1 billion bottom job.
Someone actually
you can say
number
it.
Number two. And left it in our changing rooms right before the game. Poch is finished.
Who are you?
They are failures.
Shall we move on before you two have a scrap?
We made Conor Gallagher.
0 points.
I don't know why. We felt like we were just heading nowhere.
I don't want any more Chelsea players.
A club like West Ham or Palace, a club that's trying to get...
Sorry? As in they're the same category, I don't know.
Yeah, we are. Right. It is the most tin pot European trophy there is out there.
When Izzy said, allez à Victor.
Yeah, I was like, no.
Don't show him the picture yet.
He hasn't got a clue.
Time wasting. Utterly embarrassing.
Hello, welcome to episode 7 of The Sun's new football show, bringing you a fan-first view of our beautiful game. I'm Will Pugh.
And I'm Izzy Barker, and this is Sun Sports Tap In. All about the fans on the tap-in.
And this week we're joined by a Crystal Palace fan who actually thinks Sam Allardyce plays good football. It's Dee Kernaz from Back of the Nest.
Yay! We'll talk about whether Roy's job is in danger and who could take over. But I mean, even if we move away the Roy element, are we in danger if we don't pick up points from the next few games, including West Ham? Because we've got some hard run of games.
Coming up on this week's show, which for the first time you can download as a podcast as well as watch on YouTube, we have got comments of the week where everyone just tends to laugh at my clothes for a little while. We've got Honour Off Target, where Dee rants about football for an entire minute and tries to get me and Izzy onside. We'll tackle the biggest stories of the week and what's the score before kicking off our brand new picture game with the second ever round of Who Are Ya?
The top four terrible takes section follows that before we wrap things up with a chaos game of pressure tests where Dee puts his footy knowledge and ball pumping skills to the test and tries to top our leaderboard.
All go at Crystal Palace at the moment. Roy Hodgson collapses in training, leaves his post. Oliver Glasner comes in. You thump Burnley in his first game. He's out there with Canada Goose on and Nike TNs. Absolutely loving it. From the fans, what are you making of the Eagles at the moment? How are you feeling?
It's fantastic. If you asked me last week if I'll come on, I'll probably say no. But this week, new start with Glasner, I had to be here.
No more banners of discontent around
the fans. We're going to stop that for now till the end of the season, and then we'll see what happens in the summer. But look, the fans were frustrated, and it's not because of just results, it's the ambition of the football club, and we felt like we were just heading nowhere. It felt confusing.
Remember that word ambition for a little bit later on.
See, this is a fan focused game, and a lot of fans have been getting involved in the comments section, and I thought we should delve into a few of our favourites, pick them out.
I wonder which ones you've picked.
Right, starting off with Ed Elgin. FFS, what's wrong with Pugh's ankles? This is what happens when you wear granny trainers. I like to see that you haven't worn socks this week as well.
No,
I feel like these ankles are paying the bills.
No socks?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I went to put them on this morning and then I thought of Ed's comment. I thought, no, absolutely not.
How do you even walk like that? Does it not hurt?
No. I'm not one to buckle to peer pressure. Anyway, was that all?
No, we got Craven Moorhead with Izzy is gorgeous.
What?
I wonder who picked the comment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's my burner account.
Yeah, well, thanks.
Make sure you get stuck into the comments, and who knows, your roast of Will Pugh could feature in next week's episode.
Yeah, what a wonderful section that is. Right, Dee, you have got 60 seconds to tell us the thing that you're most passionate about in football, or maybe something that you hate, and you have got to get me and Izzy on side. Once you've had your minute, we will tell you whether it's on or off target.
Time wasting. Utterly embarrassing. Are we here to just watch grown men just run around and try to pretend that they're going to play football, or are they actually going to play football? Palace versus Burnley, both teams struggling. I mean, we are here to try and win games, not to run around and earn £50,000 to £100,000 a week and not kick the ball. It is a joke. I don't understand it in football. If it is the 85th minute or the 90th minute, then I'll say, fair enough. But if you're time-wasting from minute one, why did you even turn up? Why did I turn up? Why are we all turning up? It doesn't make any sense. So if we're going to time waste, there needs to be some type of punishment towards it. I am sick and tired of going to football games and pretending to watch a football match when I'm basically watching guys just run around and pretend to play football. It's all a pretend game. That's what it feels like with time wasting. So, you know what? Let's actually try to change something this year and end time wasting.
Time's up.
Right, that was on target for me, purely because D looked like he was on fire in the booth and was about to drop the hottest mixtape of all time stood here. So I was partying his hands, to be honest. But yeah, I agree. It's a waste of time and I want to watch proper football matches.
Yeah, he did look very angry, didn't he? Yeah, on target for me as well. It was a clean sweep for D. I can't think of anything worse than when players go down holding their ankles when they've been hit in the head or doing the classic one, the one that annoys me the most, at goal kicks, when they're taking hours and hours and referees just stare at them and not give them any cards. So on target for me, 2-0, well played, D. D, and you'll have plenty of time to talk about your beloved Crystal Palace later on. New manager, new era, all of that sort of thing. But first of all, we do have to talk about football outside of South London. We're not going too far. We're just going to Northwest, Wembley in particular, which was, of course, the location of the Carabao Cup final. Liverpool's last minute of extra time winner, Virgil van Dijk, nodding one into the bottom corner to put Chelsea to the sword. The big story, of course, afterwards was Gary Neville labelling Pochettino's side, £1 billion bottle jobs, that billion quid spent on transfers. The suggestion being that they sort of shrunk in the face of Liverpool's youngsters. Both teams, to be fair, decimated by injuries, and Chelsea's average age at the end of the game of their team was actually lower than Liverpool's was. But Liverpool had three teenagers on the pitch, so easy to bash the Blues somewhat. So Gary Neville laid into them, and here is what Pochettino had to say in response.
I don't hear what he said, but I think if you compare the age of the two groups, I think it's similar. But look, I have good relationship with Gary, and I don't know if that is how I can take, you know, this opinion, but I respect his opinion. We are a young team, and nothing to compare with Liverpool, you know, because they finished with also a few young players, you know. I think it's impossible to compare. And he knows if, you know, he knows that the dynamics are completely different. And we were playing today, Liverpool and Chelsea, Liverpool, and I think it's not fair to talk in this way.
Well, there you have it, D. Mauricio Pochettino, robust in his defence, yeah, as you would imagine, trying to sort of pretend that he respects Gary Neville's opinion at the same time. The title of this segment is, of course, What's the Score? So tell us, what's the score with Chelsea and their £1 billion team of misfits?
I'm honestly embarrassed for them. Like, I'm genuinely like, I was watching the game, I felt embarrassed. I'm not even a Chelsea fan. You spent £1 billion and you look at Liverpool's The players that Liverpool are bringing on the pitch, and I'm thinking, wow, if Liverpool end up winning this game, Poch is finished. And he hasn't won any trophies in England.
No.
This was the perfect opportunity for him. I know we laugh about it. We say, oh, look, it's the League Cup and, you know, we should be going for it. But they didn't get the job done once again. And what Gary Neville said was right. They are failures. Maybe in the future it might work out, but for now it is genuinely embarrassing. Even as a Palace fan, I feel embarrassed and I don't care anything about Chelsea, because I'm like, you look at some of the players out there on the pitch, yes, they are young, but you know, they have high values, they're highly rated, they've got high potential, and you want to see them actually step up in games like this, and once again they failed.
Dude, it sounds like you care a little bit about Chelsea, to be honest. No,
I mean, I'm looking at all the Chelsea fans, I'm thinking, like, imagine that was Palace. Like, that is genuinely embarrassing.
We spoke about teenagers and things like that, but did you see that meme on Twitter of, like, kids getting a guard of honour at school, and it was like, yeah, the Liverpool teenagers coming back to school?
Yeah, they all went to school. They're probably in school right now, like, working on the GCSEs. And you've got a £1 billion squad there that they beat.
What about this man? Conor Gallagher, former Palace man, of course. What do you... It's just a weird situation. The Chelsea fans seem to love him. He's like Captain Fantastic. Poch wants him. But then at the same time, they're like, oh, you know, we need to cash in on him as soon as we can. I can't
remember. Yeah, and on social media, he just gets absolute pelters after every match. So I sort of feel like, I don't know, sort of destined to fail at this point. I don't know what you think.
Yeah.
The only good thing he's done recently is whacking those two late goals against Palace.
Exactly. When is Palace, he turns up. Yeah. he finds the shooting boots. I'll be honest, I truly believe that Gallagher is a system player, and I don't think he's a bad player, but it's a bit confusing, his situation at Chelsea. He's your club. Well, he's the captain, and you've still got the manager, you know, and the media still floating about him potentially leaving. Like, that's what I mean by the ownership. It just doesn't make any sense what they are trying to do. He's still got room for improvement. But then again, when you're looking at Chelsea Football Club, when you're looking at what they are trying to do in terms of winning trophies, could Gallagher be the player to lead them onto that? I don't know. I just don't think so. And when I look at other football clubs, and when I look at some of the key players that they have, for example, the Arsenals with the Odegaards and the Sakas, I don't think Gallagher can reach that level in terms of impact. I think he's a good player, but he's not going to be winning you trophies.
What is his level?
His level, I think, is a club like West Ham.
Yeah,
funny enough. A club like West Ham or Palace, a club that's trying to
sorry?
Get...
Sorry, as in they're the same category, aren't they?
Yeah, we are. You won the Europa Conference League.
Yeah, Palace never finished above 10th in the Premier League.
But then again, it is the most...
European champion.
It is the most Tim Pott European trophy there is out there. So you did get the Tim Pott Trophy Award for that. Everyone would win it. Even Fulham might win it as well. You never know.
Oh, thanks.
But probably around that level. I mean, we made Conor Gallagher. I truly believe that. He was at West Brom before.
Oosh.
No, he was at West Brom before Palace.
Yeah.
But he was talking about Conor Gallagher. He fit in Vieira's system.
Those two clubs are clubs in a similar sort of bracket. West Brom and Crystal
West Brom and Crystal Palace.
Is that you got confused with the Brom and the Ham, wasn't it?
The funny thing is, West Ham would be above our level once they end up beating us, which hasn't really happened recently. Exactly.
Should we move on before you two have a scrap?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Topic two, a special little section for the podcast only.
We're going to content for the launch.
I know. We are focusing on the managerial merry-go-round. Obviously, you know, at your club firsthand, Hodgson out, Glasner's come in. Obviously, at West Ham as well. Shouts for Moyes out, but who would come in there? Who would replace him? Obviously, Tuchel leaving Bayern Munich at the end of the season. Whispers that he could replace Ten Hag at Man United. Klopp leaving Liverpool at the end of the season. Xabi Alonso is the favourite to replace him. De Zerbi's name is always being linked to jobs. Barcelona, Liverpool. Obviously, Poch, what's going to happen with him? But we wanted to have a listen from TalkSport's Alan Brazil on what he'd had to say about Roy Hodgson's exit from Palace.
Roy, collapsed you in Palace training yesterday as the club were lining up Glasner as his replacement. The veteran Eagles manager was taken to hospital alongside club chairman Steve Parrish to undergo tests. You know what I mean? That's football for you, and it's garbage. We don't treat people fairly. I swear, you know, there's the secret. It was leaked. It was out. The Frankfurt guy, and, you know, Roy's getting on. Okay, you might say, well, he's had a great life in football, he shouldn't have taken the job on, but it's his passion.
But this
happens to him.
So, what is the score with this managerial merry-go-round we are seeing at the minute?
I mean, it is crazy to see Roy Hodgson's name being mentioned alongside Tuchel and Xabi Alonso and all these other managers. But with Glasner coming in...
Roy Hodgson to Bayern Munich.
Yeah, Roy Hodgson. Yeah, yeah. Oh, you never know, you never know. Or Roy Hodgson to West Ham. Yeah. That could happen. But it is crazy right now. It is heating up. I feel like there's more of tension rather than things happening. Tuchel still is at Bayern Munich. Poch is still at Chelsea. I mean, we've made a change, but I don't think we're on the same level as Chelsea's and Bayern Munich. So I don't think many people care about Glasner as much. But yeah, I think at the end of the season, there might be actually a transfer window of managers rather than players, because you might see a lot of these managers swapping places. You might see maybe Poch going to Bayern Munich.
You wouldn't be surprised, would you? That often happens, isn't it, with players as well. It's sort of, there's like four or five transfers in, like a bit like when you sell houses or whatever and you get a chain. It's sort of like that with players, isn't it? Where something really big happens at the top, like a Gareth Bale transfer, for example, that then triggers loads of stuff beyond that. West Ham, Declan Rice went to Arsenal. Four or five deals already lined up for when that happened. And only once the big one goes can everything else sort of
fall into... It's like the butterfly effect.
There we go. That's a much quite better analogy than mine.
Glasner was actually linked with Bayern Munich. And apparently, I don't know how true this is, but there might be a clause that he could join Bayern Munich if Bayern Munich come calling for him. And we see Xabi Alonso, for example, linked with Bayern. So many things could happen. Honestly, it's so hard to predict right now. It is exciting. As a Palace fan, I hope that Bayern Munich just get anyone apart from Glasner, because right now we're just basically hiding for a single game, and I don't want to lose him right now. Yeah. It seems exciting. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it at the end of the season.
It's just hard, I suppose, isn't it? When you're a Crystal Palace fan, that well-trodden path from Selhurst Park to Bayern Munich.
I mean, he seemed like he fitted in, as you said, with his Canada Goose.
What were you making of that? Just boshed up looking like a sort of 20-year-old... like Croydon resident.
Well, he was there for like 3-4 days, and afterwards he was like, you know what, I actually enjoyed this outfit. And
Nike ends in a Canada Goose coat. Drink, he got it from the market.
I thought he wore a gilet as
The Canada Goose coat he had.
Yeah.
I thought his thing was like a gilet as well.
No, he fitted right in.
You zip the sleeves up.
He fitted right in. He's excited. But yeah, I think Man United are another team as well. Let's see what happens with Ten Hag. Because if Ten Hag goes, Tuchel goes Bayern Munich, Xabi Alonso, if he doesn't end up going Liverpool, then... it's crazy. It's like a domino effect. One manager just has to make the move, then other managers naturally will just shuffle.
Right, we're going to put you on the spot, though. Quick fire, like, who do you think will be in charge of certain clubs in the first day of next season?
OK. Right. One name.
Yeah.
No explanation.
Yeah, you got to be
just
quick.
Just give us a name.
All right.
Right.
You ready?
Yeah. Man United.
Sure. Ten Hag.
West Ham.
David Moyes.
Liverpool.
Don't say Jurgen Klopp.
I don't want to say Chapman.
Five. Four. Two.
Xabi Alonso.
Yeah. Chelsea.
Return of Tuchel.
Ooh. Brighton.
Hopefully not Zerbi. Chris Hughton, for my sake. Chris Hughton.
And Palace. Your beloved Palace.
Glasner, he's staying. He's brought into the project. Look, he's excited after the game. After one game, I'm just delusional. As soon as you see the manager just run on the pitch, celebrate with the fans, be happy, say all the right things, I think Glasner's going to stay at Palace for the next 10 years. That's what. But I think he'll stay. I think Glasner will stay.
Bayern Munich clause aside, then, what do you feel like are you sort of buoyed by the style of play so far? It's been one game, you beat Burnley 3-0. I feel like us three put together a team, or if we were actually playing against Burnley, we'd have half a chance of beating them at the moment.
But that's a narrative.
Come on, let's be honest. Like, lots of teams have beaten Burnley this season, but what do you take heart from it? Did you like what you saw style of play-wise? What do you think will happen, certainly up until the end of the season at least?
Yeah, he didn't have many training sessions. I think he only had like 3 days. He even said himself it was more about meetings rather than actual pitch work. And the mentality was right. That's what I saw, the mentality. I mean, Burnley didn't have a single shot on target. We faced Burnley in a previous fixture and at Turf Moor, and you know Burnley absolutely hammered us. They had 17 shots at Turf Moor in comparison to what, zero on target this time around. And I think it's the mentality. We were attacking. It was exciting, and I think it's only the start, because look, he has a whole week of training now. I'm not saying everything's going to be perfect in 1 week, but the fact that he managed to get 3-0 win, the fact that the players really brought into the plan, you know, we've been conceding late goals all season long. That didn't happen. We didn't concede from a set piece. We actually looked solid from a set piece. And this is all in less than a week's work. So I'm excited. Palace fans are excited. We're not going to get carried away and say, oh, we're going to end up winning Europa League in a few seasons' time.
It does feel like he's getting carried away.
It does feel like it, because I am excited. But I know that we'll have some hurdles along the way as well. I know that we might struggle, and that's going to happen. But, you know, overall, it's looking good. It's looking good. He's saying all the right things as well.
Where are you going
to
finish?
Top 10. Why not? Why not? Why not have them?
Because there's at least 10 other teams.
But then there's West Ham there, which won't end up being there. So we could take West Ham's space.
Let's talk about Crystal Palace, shall you? Hopefully that.
Hopefully that one.
Yeah. Helps you get over that shambles somewhat. This is effectively the top or terrible take section, right? We give you a football take about your club in particular. You have to tell us whether it's top or terrible. But because this show is sort of planned out every week by a load of creative geniuses, we don't just call it the top or terrible take, OK? We cleverly twist a pun on your manager's name. So buckle up, get ready for Glaz All Over or What A Load Of Old Rubbish.
Hey? Glaz All Over. Nah, that is nice. Glaz All Over is nice. But I'm pretty sure
you... I get it, Glaz All Over.
Glaz All Over is a song.
Glaz All Over.
Glaz All Over.
If it's a good take that you agree with, it's Glaz All Over. If you don't, it's a load of old rubbish.
All right.
Right, number one. Selhurst Park has an entire side of the ground from which you can't see half of the pitch. For a decade, the flight of Kayla the Eagle, RIP, was basically the highlight of most trips to your club's ground. And since Palace's return to the Premier League in 2013, their average finish is 12th. They've not finished lower than 15th or higher than 10th once. So the take is, Crystal Palace have no ambition of being any bigger than they are and will be bottom half boys until the end of time. Is that Glaz All Over or a load of old rubbish?
Load of rubbish. We do have
the... Excuse me, load of old rubbish.
Load of all rubbish, yeah.
Don't waste all our puns.
No. I mean, we are trying to build a new stand, which hopefully should fix that in terms of the ambition, bringing a bit more revenue into the football club. But, yeah, I get it. Why it does look like that from the outside. The way you put it, I felt hurt. I was like, what's going on?
Is that a way?
But I think it is a load of all rubbish. It does seem like it from the outside looking in, but we do have the plans. So I think we will try to progress.
Do you guys still have cheerleaders?
Yeah. We do.
That's proper 1999.
We have the cheerleaders. Yeah, we lost the Eagle, unfortunately.
Yeah.
The Eagle passed away.
Yeah.
So we're trying to find a replacement Eagle. It's been gone for a few years.
Are you actually in the search?
Yeah, yeah.
I think we're training one right now.
Training one right now.
Seriously?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
to be fair, have you been there? It's impressive when it flies across the other crossbar. Yeah,
the Eagle's gone. But yeah, I think we are trying to get there. But right now, we're just sorting ourselves out internally. Rather than focus on top 10. But we'll get there.
35 quid for a ticket in a way, and you won't be able to see half of the match, but you will get a bird of prey display.
Well, exactly. Where else do you see that? Where else do you see that?
There's an eagle in training.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that legit, though? Yeah.
Yeah, well, of course. Not at the actual training ground, but yeah. Yeah. Did you see eagle just flying up and down? 9 a.m.
Hang on. Yeah.
From 9 to 11, there's just the eagle just running up, flying up and down.
Number two is ultras. You got a group of fully grown men dressing in all black, marching around, pretending like they're some European ultra group from the 90s. Mm. To add to that, you've got someone banging a drum, which seems to be hated by every fan from football clubs.
Every single fan in English football hates a drum. Yeah.
I've actually seen the guy banging the drum. I think he got the drum confiscated once at Arsenal.
Yeah.
That was a personal highlight of mine. But the biggest crime of all is that Arsenal fans seem to actually be copying the Crystal Palace ultras. So the take is Crystal Palace's wannabe ultras need binning ASAP, as all they do is give other fans ammo to mock your club. Glaz All Over or load of all rubbish?
Load of all rubbish. The reason for that is, I mean, you look at the Premier League, the atmosphere is lacking. It is lacking. So you can say, oh, they have drums, they have flags, but teams do want to be like Palace in terms of Selhurst Park, in terms of the atmosphere. You look at West Ham, or you even look at Fulham. For this instance, I mean,
the most we're fighting over is the last Haribo suite.
Exactly. But you want to see something a bit different. I think even the players say it, they look forward to it. So I don't think there's anything wrong with it. There isn't anything wrong with it. They're just there to enjoy and support their club, which I think they're doing well.
It's the being copied by Arsenal bit, isn't it?
Exactly. The fact that Arsenal are copying us, and the fact that their atmosphere has, it has improved at Emirates. It kind of says something. It kind of says that we're doing something right. And trust me, without the drums and the flags, Selhurst Park probably as quiet as the London City.
Number three, Brighton and Crystal Palace are separated by 46 miles. The rivalry only came about in the 70s and no one really knows why. No other fans in the world regard it as a rivalry, and we haven't even bothered sourcing any media clips to put on the big screen, such as the apathy among the Tapping creative team and football fans as a whole. So the take is, the Palace-Brighton derby is the most tragic in world football and no one should ever mention it or pretend it matters ever again.
Again? Load of all rubbish. Are you telling me there's no...
Real, clean sweep.
No, exactly, yeah. I mean, when you look at some of the other rivalries, Palace and Brighton, they actually have decent games. I mean, the fans are both up for it. It is exciting, and there are way worse rivalries than us.
Oh, come on, name one. I mean,
Chelsea-Fulham. Chelsea-Fulham.
That's no, but at least it's a dark,
yeah, but it's, all...
it's not named after a motorway, is it?
Yeah, but no one named it after a motorway.
M23 derby.
No, no, it's not. First of all, the M23 doesn't even start in where Palace are.
You have to take the M23 to get between the two, though.
Yeah, but then you can also take the train.
It does have the same ring to it, does it? Exactly. The Great Southern train. Exactly.
What does that dressing room incident have to do with the rivalry?
No. The rivalry started way before them.
Before that.
Come on, inform us and the viewers.
Yeah. So the dressing room one, if we talk about that, that was significant. That was in the playoffs. Well, in the semi-finals, and when we went to the stadium, and someone actually.
Number two,
and left it in our changing rooms right before the game, and that kind of
like on the floor.
Yeah, rubbed all over the floor.
Yeah,
and it smelled.
Oh, legit. I thought they went and didn't flush.
So no one knew exactly who done it. Yeah. And then afterwards, it was found out. No, afterwards, it was found out that it was actually our coach driver.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
He
had a bad stomach.
Not on Wikipedia. Exactly. Researching. Do you hate anyone else more than Brighton?
But Arsenal, West Ham, Brighton, I think that's my top three.
Nice one, D. It is 3-0 to load of old rubbish.
Clean sweep.
But that is it for this episode. So thank you so much to D. Kernas from Back of the Nest.
Good effort, Sam. Well played. And thank you to you guys for tuning in. Don't forget, you can listen to this week's episode as a podcast for the very first time. Make sure you subscribe to Sun Sports YouTube channel. Get stuck in the comments. And you will feature this week if you take the mickey out of my clothes. Don't call Lizzie gorgeous, so it's annoying. Check out the previous 6 episodes of The Tapping. We'll see you next time.
See ya.
Good Tapping. Good.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.